Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service to public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on America, B.C., when we come back. You know, with an income of $50,000 a year, you pay $7,650 in Social Security taxes if you're self-employed and you're paying that 15.3% rate. Well, then, shouldn't you subtract that $7,650 that you've already paid from your $50,000 income and then pay your income tax on the $42,350 balance instead of paying 17% income tax on that $50,000 again a second time? But you know, the IRS makes you pay 15.3% of the $50,000 in Social Security tax. Then they turn around and make you pay 17% of the same $50,000 in income tax. Now that means that you paid 17% on the $7,650 twice. And that little bookkeeping trick steals an extra $1,300 from you and from everybody else that pays that tax. Now what would you think if Sears or Penny's or your credit card company charged you twice like Social Security and the IRS does? Now isn't that just real special? Now if you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, educational, informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, tax and status, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, and just click onto the email and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Why don't you do that right now before you forget? Hey, we've been talking about America, B.C. It was written by a fellow named Barry Fell. I rate this a 1 in 100 book. You'll read 100 books before you come across another one like this. I've got two or three here in my library, and I rate them all as 1 in 100. In Plain Sight will be one that I'll review one of these days, written by a lady by the name of Gloria Farley. She was ridiculed and impugned. She was made fun of. And she was a lay lady. She did not have degrees from archaeological school. Now, Barry Fell did. Barry Fell, the fellow whose book we're reviewing now, worked in collaboration with Gloria Farley for many years. And between the two of them, they uncovered a lot of new sites. And Gloria Farley was out beating the ranches of western, you know, beating the trail to the ranches out in western Oklahoma. And the ranchers out there would say, well, yeah, there's these funny marks in the rocks up there. And so Gloria Farley would go up there and she'd look at them. And she would photograph them and document them and get the location down. And then she would report that. She'd go to an archaeologist and she'd go to a university and she'd say, well, look what I found over here. And they'd ignore her. And she thought that was kind of funny. She didn't understand the politics behind science. Science is like religion. You see, our government and science work together like the governments in the Roman Catholic Church worked back in the Middle Ages. They work hand in glove to keep the people ignorant. If you think that your government is sending you to public school because they want to educate you, you need to ask yourself, well, why are test scores going down every year? No, no. The educational system is designed to dumb you down, not to make you smarter and smarter. Now, about 1% of the population is selected out to become the leaders of the next generation. And they're very carefully selected and then encouraged to join the Masonic Order. And then they go on to college and they become university professors and they become the people who are in control of the universities and the information or the knowledge that you're going to learn. All that you know, boys and girls, you think about this now. Everything that's in your brain, everything that you know came into your mind through your five senses. And it doesn't make any difference whether you believe in evolution or you believe in Baptist theology or you're a Catholic, Protestant, or a Jew, a Republican, a Democrat, or a Communist. Whatever information you have between your ears got in there through your five senses. Now, the people who want to control you know and understand that. And so if we want you to be an evolutionist, then we need to keep from you certain information. If we want you to be an archaeologist, we need to keep from you information that would cause you to be a contrarian. And so we send you to university. The reason we send you to college is so that we can program you. And when you come out of college, you will be programmed. You are programmed to believe the information that you read in the textbook. Now, let me show you how that works. You pick up a textbook in college, and the instructor now says, okay, now this is chapter 1. I want you to read 5 chapters. And you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to read these five chapters. You need to read a chapter a day. And on Friday, we will have an examination concerning what we've read in these five chapters. All right, so you go back to your dorm and you sit there and you read and you read and you study and you take notes and you read this story. Now, this story may be the exact opposite from what you've heard in the past or what you know or what you believe. It doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or don't believe it. Because on Friday, we're going to give you a test and we're going to ask you 100 questions concerning the five chapters that you've just read, about 20 questions per chapter. And they'll ask you a question like, who's the author? And, you know, what's the name of the book? And in chapter one, did you see this and that and another thing over here? And then they'll ask you some questions about dates and one thing and another. Now, here's the bottom line. We never question what is contained in the book. We begin our study with the presumption that whatever's in this book is absolute, god-awful, gospel truth. Got that? Once in a while, some contrarian comes along and says, how in the hell do we know that the information contained in this book is the truth? And this becomes particularly glaring when we read four or five books on the same subject. I mean, you can pick up four or five history books concerning the Civil War. And depending upon where this guy was located or stationed, and they ask you the question, what's the cause of the Civil War? Everybody will tell you slavery. 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 Slavery caused the Civil War. Well, okay. Many, many textbooks will tell you that. But when you read other textbooks, they'll say, economy. 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 And then some other guy comes along and he says, politics. 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 And so you and I are sitting here reading the book, say, well, could it be that all three of these things contributed to the cause of the Civil War? And the answer to that is yes. In fact, there were many, many, many dissatisfactions in the South, which caused the South to secede. And slavery was at the bottom of the list. It was a factor. It was an important factor. But among the factors that precipitated the Civil War, slavery was at the bottom of the list. But today, when we go to school, we're taught that slavery is at the top of the list, and then the other causes of the Civil War are relegated to, if they're talked about at all, to a minor position. Now, what that does for us is it gives us a skewered view of the Civil War and of our own history. And that's important, because what we want to do is we want to guide and direct your thinking. And one of the things that we want to guide and direct in your thinking is your political view. Now, we want to guide and correct your political view, your religious view, your economic view. We want to guide and control you as a perfect American citizen or Canadian or Australian or wherever you live into paying your taxes and giving your allegiance to your country. That's the ultimate goal of politics. It's to guide and control you. And so it works like a shot. Listen, Russians are jumping up and down, beating the gong, and waving the flag for Russia. They believe in it. You know, we over here in the United States, we look at that and we say, God, those guys must be brainwashed. But we jump up and down, and look at this young fella, a fella by the name of Tillman, when the Iraq War got cranking. This young fella, he's a football player, and he got religion. It was political religion, but he got religion. He said, I want to go serve my country. So he quit his job as a football player, and he joined the army. And then later on, he got killed. Well, now, he's famous because he was a football player. So. And you remember the name Tillman. But listen, there's 3,500 other guys. They felt the same way. They got excited. All those soldiers over in Iraq volunteered. They all joined the army. And they joined the army because they had a political view, an economic view. They have a world view that came into their minds through their five senses. Now, they don't know how those views came into their minds. And that's because we're not taught to ask questions. We are taught to answer questions. Think about that. We're not taught to ask. We're taught to take tests. So on Friday, you read the material, and on Friday you come back and you answer the questions. And if you get 90 of them right, you get a B+. If you get 95 of them correct, then you get an A. And then on down the line. And you learn very quickly that if you want to do well in school, you shut up. If you ask questions, and this was my problem, and I guess that's why I'm contrary. I ask questions. For instance, I was in catechism class, and there was about six or eight little boys and girls, you know, sitting around a circle. And the pastor comes in, and he, now this is the Lutheran church, see, for all of you people out there in radio land, I'm being educated now, brainwashed in the Lutheran religion. And I'm sitting here, I'm one of the eight or ten, I don't know how many kids were in there, you know, but I'm sitting in the class, and then the pastor, he sits, it's kind of a horseshoe, you know, you sit in kind of a semicircle around, and the pastor, he sits there in the chair, and he's instructing you. And he tells you what to read. He tells you what to memorize. He says, we want to memorize John thus and such, you know, 6:16 or whatever. And then we come back, and then he says, okay, now how many of you memorized John 6:16? And so you test these memorization. You have to memorize these verses. And so when you're going to church, they have you memorize verses in the Bible, verses that are totally irrelevant and immaterial and mean absolutely nothing. Those are the verses they have you memorize. No child has ever memorized Jeremiah 10, 1 through 6. That is not on the memorization list of any church. because it contradicts Christmas. And we're not going to contradict Christmas. We're going to teach Christmas in our churches. So in order to teach you the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches, they have you memorize verses. What this does is it makes you believe that you are biblically qualified because you can cite verses from the Bible. It makes you really believe that you know the Bible because you can actually cite verses. That's what the memorization program is. It's a part of your brainwashing and brain conditioning. All right, and we do the same thing when we send you to college. We have you cite, memorize, remember, and take tests as to what Aldous Huxley said, or what J.P. Morgan said, or what Mayor Rothschild said, or some other famous evolutionist, or agnostic, or some politician. Whatever it is that we want to condition you to believe, we have you memorize and learn these famous statements made by these famous men, or women, or whichever the case may be. Okay, now we have you conditioned to believe what these people teach because you memorize and you regurgitate and you recite what these people said. Whether what these people said was truth or not is irrelevant and immaterial. We never ask that question. Is it the truth? That subject matter never comes up. What we're taught to do is to memorize it and then regurgitate it. And if you can do that successfully, you get rewarded, kind of like Pavlov's dog. So what we do is we reward you or we punish you depending upon how you respond to the stimulus. So we stimulate you with five chapters, and then we give you a test. And if you get to be one of these contrarians and you ask questions, and that was my problem. See, I would ask questions like, well, what about this Christmas tree in Jeremiah 10? I would ask the preacher. And then he would condescendingly explain it to me like, you poor, ignorant dolt. But you haven't been to seminary like I have. And you don't understand the deeper meaning of Jeremiah 10. So he would use a lot of big words. Now, I'm, what, 12 years old, 10 years old? I'm in catechism class. And so this teacher now, he starts using 5-6-syllable words, words that I've never heard before, and all the rest of the children in the class are absolutely mesmerized by this vocabulary from this college kid, college graduate, the preacher. And so he gets through and he says, now do you understand? Now, the rest of the children are nodding their heads up and down, up and down. And little Georgie Gordon's nodding his head from side to side, like, no, no, I don't understand. And all the rest of the little kids, they're nodding their heads up and down like, oh, yes, we understand. I always was amazed at the rest of the classmates because they could understand all those big words. I didn't understand them. But then, of course, I was kind of a dumb kid when I went to school, and I asked dumb questions, like, what about Jeremiah 10? And so, and I'd ask questions like, why did Jesus speak in parables? Jesus' disciples, they were just about as dumb as I were. They asked Jesus the same question. Hey, boss, how come you're speaking in parables? And he told them. So these people can't understand what I'm telling them. Let me repeat that, in case you're theologically inclined. Jesus' disciples came to him one day and they said, hey, how come you're speaking to these people in parables? He's talking to a bunch of people here on the seashore. And he said, I'm speaking to them in parables so that they cannot understand what it is that I am telling them today. It's not for them to understand, but it is for you, and so I'm going to explain it to you guys. But I'm going to explain it to those guys, because I don't want them to understand. Now, that isn't what you learned when you went to catechism. So when I ask questions like that, my instructor, Pastor Kohler, God bless him, old Pastor Kohler, he would talk to me in condescending terms, and then he would sharply upbraid me and then give me a D for catechism. All the rest of the kids are getting straight A's. Straight A's. I got straight D's. I passed catechism. I think it was kind of because you can't fail catechism. I don't know why you can't fail catechism. If there's anybody that could fail catechism, it should have been little Georgie Gordon, but I didn't. I passed, but with a D. And the pastor came over, and he talked to my dad one day. He says, I think there's something wrong with your kid's brain. I think he's mentally retarded or something. You know, he doesn't learn like the other little boys and girls. All right. Now, you got that? That's the way we learn. It's called education. I just call it brainwashing. You know, I want to question the book, and so I'm looking at America BC, and I want to question this guy over here because the mainstream does not accept what we see here in America BC. So I've been trained in law, and in law we require, when we walk into the courtroom, the judge sitting there in that courtroom, he absolutely demands proof. I mean, you can come in here and you can say anything you want, you know, primarily, I mean, not quite, but almost anything you want. But he wants you to be talking about things that are relevant and germane. He wants to hear words coming out of your mouth that tend to the subject matter at hand. And he wants to hear witnesses corroborating what you're telling. He wants to see pieces of paper with signatures and dates and names on it that back up what it is that you're talking about. He wants to see pictures and photographs and diagrams. He's not satisfied with, well, it must be true because you wrote it up in your complaint. Or it must be true because this is what you said in your answer. The judge, he wants to see names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence. Now, when you go to college, we're not looking for names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence that would contradict the party line. And if you come into your professor and you question that textbook, take a look at your next grade score. Test me. I dare you. Go into your professor and say, wait a minute, who in the hell says this is true? And then do some research. Get online or go pick up another textbook of another view and then come in and challenge the professor and say, wait a minute, what about America BC? What about Barry Fell, all you students out there studying archaeology? Go on, test me. And then watch your grade score go down. Okay, now we'll test another one. Now, repent of your heresy, you fools, and come back in the next quarter or the next semester and then just parrot the party line. If the book says it, you recite it. And then see your scores go up. Now, it doesn't take you very long to figure out how to succeed in college. You sit down, shut up, fold your hands, and recite what you've been told, and you'll get good grades. Now, you go into college and you start asking the professor to prove what he's telling you, and your grades are going to go down, 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 dummy. Now, most kids are smart enough to figure that out, but they grow up with their degrees. They graduate from college and go on into their professions, believing the lies that they have been taught all of their lives. And they espouse and believe, and they teach those lies to their children, like Christmas. Now, we all know that Santa Claus doesn't come down the chimney, and we're highly suspicious that he probably doesn't drink Coca-Cola. Now, just who in the hell told you that Santa Claus drinks Coca-Cola? How do you know he doesn't drink Sprite or Pepsi or 7-Up? Now, we all know Santa drinks Coca-Cola because we've been propagandized and brainwashed all of our lives. Coca-Cola and Santa Claus go together like a hand fits in a glove. Santa Claus does not drink 7-Up. You know it and I know it. Now, we honest to God believe in Santa Claus coming down the chimney, and that's why we put stockings up on the mantle. Even if you live in an apartment in Greenwich Village with no mantle, and you wouldn't know what the hell to do with a chunk of wood if you had it. But you put these, you know, you make a mantle if nothing else, and put these stockings up there. Now, you do that every year. And you honest to God believe that you're celebrating Jesus' birthday, and it came out of the Bible. And you're sincere. But if you were to look at Jeremiah 10, all of a sudden you'd find that the Bible teaches against Christmas, and the church teaches you to practice Christmas. And here's my point. This is exactly what's happening in archaeology and science today. And the young people coming out of colleges and universities, honest to God, believe the crap that they've been taught. They're sincere people. I'm not sitting here saying that you guys are hypocrites. I'm saying you probably, honest to God, believe it. But Barry Fell was not one of them. And Emmanuel Velikovsky wasn't. And Bill Gates wasn't. And neither was Henry Ford. And these iconoclasts, these contrarians, went on to set the stage for the truth. And then once in a while, the truth comes out. I mean, everybody knows a little bit of truth. Here's what our problem is. The truth is mixed with error, and what we don't know is the error from the truth. That's the dilemma that we all find ourselves in. George Bush does not lie to you every day, all the time. Because if he did, we'd always know the truth. Now, George Bush tells us the truth, often, and then mixes it with lies. And the deception is all pervasive. And that's what we're dealing with here in America, BC. It's the deception. Archaeologists go out and they dig up real bones. And they're telling you the truth. I went out here and I dug up these bones. Here's where they were from. And this is a female and this is a male. And these are, they can tell you the race and they can decipher the writing. And then they come along with a conclusion. They say, well, millions and millions of years ago. Now, maybe it was millions and millions of years ago. But, you know, who in the hell was there a million years ago to write down the names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence? And so then they come along and they say, well, we dated this by radiocarbon dating. But boys and girls, radiocarbon dating can't date anything over 50,000 years. I mean, you know, it is true that radiocarbon dating does have some merit, but then it's being used in such a way that it turns it into a lie. So you can take the truth, radiocarbon dating, and we can date things by certain criteria, but we can't date everything, and not everything that's being dated is being reported accurately. And that's why we should be asking questions. So I'm not asking you to believe me because I'm telling you. I'm just challenging you and saying, well, why don't you take a look at this book? It's called America BC by Barry Fell. Just walk into Amazon or Barnes & Noble and just say, hey, I want America BC by Barry Fell. He'll plug it into his computer and he'll give it to you. Now, last time we were talking about this thing, the ships of Tarshish, which brings us to the Bible. And I told you last time, I said, oh my God, this is heresy in its nth degree. Because archaeology is predicated upon evolutionary philosophy and long periods in the past. And Barry Fell in America BC and Celtic inscriptions here in the New World, which there's some 3,000 plus, is predicated upon the Bible. Short periods of time, and not dumb people in the past, but real smart people in the past who became dumbed down through the Middle Ages because they had been dumbed down by their religion and their politics. Now, you know, if you know the truth and you've got true politics and true religion and true science, and we've got the truth over here to work from, you know, we could probably make a lot of money. You know, on the other hand, if you're delving into lies and half-truths, it kind of reminds me of economics. You know, we get into economics here quite often. And I read these economic reports that come off of CNN and off of the Internet and CBS and ABC, and I read them. I listen to Katie Couric, you know, every day. I go up there and get my daily dose of propaganda from the boob tube. to find out what my government wants me to know today. And then I compare that with the underground press to find out, well, now, do these coincide? Do they agree? I do the same thing with history books. I read a piece of history and I say, well, who the hell says that's true? I'm one of those contrarians. I read America BC and I said, well, now, just hang on a second here. What in the world makes you think this is correct? And so using law and the examination, cross-examination formula, 23 tests that we use in cross-examination to find out whether somebody's lying or not, we apply these tests in cross-examination to find out whether or not we've got two or three witnesses that agree on some point. You know, where you got two or three witnesses that agree. Have you got any hard evidence of those facts? You know, three witnesses come in and they all tell the same lie. Now, three cops come in and they all testify to the same lie. Is it the truth because three cops testified to it? Policemen lie every day, boys and girls. Policemen go into prosecuting attorneys and sit there in front of prosecuting attorneys and get the testimony from the prosecutor that they're supposed to deliver on the witness stand. Goes on every day. Now, it's up to you, the defense, you know, the defendant, to come over here, cross-examine those three cops over there and impeach their testimony and show that they're a bunch of damn liars. Well, let's apply the same principles here to archaeology, science, politics, economics. Let's make the bastards prove what they're telling us. Which is why I said I think that Barry Fell hit the nail on the head. So he opens chapter 8 with the story here on the ships of Tarshish, which now introduces the Bible into the mix. Does the Bible have anything to say? Well, yeah, it does. And Barry Fell's got the names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence to back it up, and vice versa. The witnesses agree. But the witnesses don't agree when we compare or when we put the same test to archaeology, trying to show us evolutionary philosophy or trying to show us through ignorance. Ignorance. I say, when you ignore what my facts are, that's ignorance. And archaeology simply ignores these 3,000 archaeological sites and the Ogham writing and the Phoenician coins and the Roman pottery. They ignore it. They try to pretend it isn't there. Because if it's there, we can't explain it outside the Bible. We can't explain it with evolutionary philosophy. So what we'll do is we'll ignore it. We'll rail against it. We will deny it. And children, that is not science. Science is knowledge. Science is not ignorance. All right, let me give you a reminder here. We're talking about Barry Fell's book, America BC, and we are reviewing it. So let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. Now, if you'd like more information about that homeschool, go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed as well through our webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. These Law Hour programs are an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors and publications that we endorse and recommend will reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile or political, or they may be religious, ethnic, economic, or racial partisans whose viewpoint is not wholly or totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing a book called America BC by Barry Fell. Now get this. These ships of Tarshish mentioned in the Bible, called the Merchants of Tarshish, were famed for their wealth, which, according to Phoenician sources, they obtained by trading with the docile mining communities of Andalusia, Spain, people who, so the Phoenicians say, set little value upon the silver they extracted from the rocks of Spain. And when Ezekiel sings the impending fate of Tyre, He mentions the passing glory of the Tyrian fairs, to which the merchants of Tarshish brought a multitude of all kinds of riches, with silver, iron, tin, and lead, that they traded in thy fairs. Did you get that, boys and girls? When was the last time you were ever asked to memorize a verse out of Ezekiel talking about the ships of Tarshish? Oftentimes I hear people say, well, the Bible is not a science book. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, you betcha. The Bible is full of science. And when you compare the science of the Bible with the science that's being taught in our public schools today and our universities and colleges, and you compare the science, which is constantly being changed and updated in science textbooks, nobody ever changes or updates the science in the Bible. It's been that way for thousands of years. And that's because the Creator knows and understands physics and science. He also understands history. Archaeology is a science that is dedicated to revealing to us history. And they're constantly making mistakes. And archaeology history books are constantly being revised. But the book of Ezekiel isn't, hasn't, and won't be. And that's because the guy that reported was there. He was an eyewitness. The guy that dictated to Ezekiel, the words of Ezekiel, speaking of the ships of Tarshish, had it right. Barry Fell uncovered the truth, which is substantiated in the Bible, which should be substantiated by archaeologists. And they know the truth, but they hide it, suppress it, ridicule it, impugn it, and ignore it. And that, boys and girls, is not science. It's propaganda. But you know, propaganda is what controls people. That's why we're in Iraq. Propaganda. Now, as time progresses, the propaganda and the lies become exposed. I mean, the lies of Iraq are now being exposed daily in the news media. And now you know more today than you did 4 years ago when George Bush was telling us about how great war was in Iraq was going to be. See, you know more about 9/11. You know more about the government's conspiracy or the government's cover-up of the 9/11 events. And because of that, you're smarter and you're more knowledgeable and you're better able to make decisions based upon the truth than upon the lies and the errors that you were fed when you said 4 years ago, yeah, let's go to war, let's go get them. And so this young fellow, Tillman, now he got full of evangelistic zeal. He joined the army and went over and got killed. 3,500 Americans, 3,500 other Americans went over and got killed also. And they believed in what they were doing. They never learned the truth about the false intelligence or the lies of the Bush administration, did they? The lies of Richard Perle and Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld and so on. All right, now the same thing is true when we look at history. You know, there's true history. I don't deny that. I'm not arguing that all history books are filled with lies. But I'll tell you this, all history books contradict some other history book. And those contradictions both can't be true. And so there's some truth there and there's some error there, and it's up to you and I to go search it out. Most people don't do that. They're intellectually lazy. And it's a whole lot easier to memorize the text and regurgitate it back on Friday than it is to go open up some other text and then start looking up these contradictions and saying, well, wait a minute, they both can't be telling us the truth. The Bible teaching us 6,000 years back to creation, and then science over here, or some facets of science teaching us millions and millions and billions and billions of years, they're at loggerheads with one another. No one's true and the other's false. Maybe there's a little bit of truth in both, but, you know, let's search it out and let's find the truth. And that's what Barry Fell's done here. And this chapter 8, bringing the Bible into the view. And I've got to tell you, Fell's not religious. Fell is not promoting the Bible. He's not a partisan on one side or the other. Fell was very careful in his analysis and in his reporting to report just the facts, supported with the pictures, supported with the documents. Very, very careful. And that's what impressed me about the book, and that's why this is one of those 1 in 100 books. Now, I'm not sitting here saying to you that every word contained in the book must be the truth because Barry Fell wrote it. It may well be that there are some errors in here. But Fell was honest in his evaluation. He doesn't go around here ridiculing and impugning, ignoring and making fun of archaeology. He is an archaeologist. He is a scientist. But there's a big difference between the Me Toos and the iconoclasts that come out and say, well, I'm going to question that. Where's the evidence that supports it? It may well be that these ancient Neanderthals were walking around dragging their knuckles on the ground. That may be true. But is it true that all men were walking around ignorant and dragging their knuckles on the ground? Or is it true that just some tribes were, some groups were? The conclusion that we've been taught in our schools, when I went to school, was that mankind was slowly evolving and we've always been dumb, but we're getting smarter and smarter. And today, in the 20th century, we're now at the apex of our intelligence and our smarts. Barry Fell comes on the scene and says, no, no, there was technology in the past. There was knowledge in the past that was lost, and that we have now refound it, rediscovered it. That makes more sense. When we look at the Great Pyramid and we say there were a lot of real smart people that had a lot of technology and a lot of smarts, and they built this great pyramid. Then we got dumb. We went into a dark age, and we got real stupid real fast, and it lasted for a real long time. And then slowly but surely, we're getting smarter and smarter, and it began with Columbus. Now that's where the truth is. Now that's where reason, logic, and common sense leads us. Now these ancient pagans back here were Baal worshippers and sun worshippers, and ultimately it led them into a dark age. And back in Solomon and David's time, when they were looking at the Bible and looking at reality, they actually had some science and technology. Before the flood, before perversity, before darkness overtook them, they had real knowledge. They had some real smarts. Now that leads us to a biblical principle. Rejection of the scripture leads us to stupidity. People who are ignorantly worshiping the sun aren't too smart, aren't too knowledgeable. Now, I'm not here to teach you, or to impress upon you that you ought to pray to Jesus or that you ought to get some religion. I'm not religion. I didn't come here to report on religion. I came here to report on facts. And the fact is that the science of archaeology has been lying to us, and they lie to us with a reason, for a purpose. It's to create a mindset that leads us to evolutionary philosophy, leads us into ignorance, leads us into stupidity. And that's for the purpose of political control. And I'm not opposed to political control. Shucks, you know, it worked well for the Germans under Hitler. Political control did miracles for the Germans during the Depression years of the 1930s. But it also led them into a disastrous war, which killed a lot of people and destroyed their nation. And I'm not so sure that World War II was all that good for Germany. In fact, looking at World War II, I'm not sure that World War II was good for America or Britain or anybody else. So, you know, I'm not sure that stupidity and ignorance is good for us. Maybe the truth, maybe knowledge and understanding might be a little better. So I want to refer you again to America BC, and then I want to refer you to Collins. Let me see if I got his name here in front of me. Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S, wrote 5 books. His name is Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N-M, Collins. And I'm going to give you his phone so you can call him and pester him, tell him George Gordon called. He's told you to call him. His number is 605-361-5069. Now, he wrote 5 books. Last time I bought a set of books from him, he sold them to me for $100, $20 a volume. They're all in paperback. There's 5 of them. And I told him, sign them, would you? Autograph them. Someday you may be famous, and I may have one of your autographed volumes, which may be worth some money someday. His name is Stephen M. Collins. His number is 605-361-5069. Now, the reason I bring him up, he wrote 5 books. The Lost 10 Tribes of Israel Found, America's Lost Empires, Parthia. Now, these 5 books that he wrote, if you ask for them, have them sign them. Give them a $100 bill. Corroborate America BC from the biblical point of view. And Collins did a masterful job in weaving the story of ancient Israel in the Bible around the pitfalls of this thing that we call identity. So if you're one of the identity people, don't be offended. We're not arguing with the truth or the veracity of ancient Israel and the modern discovery that America, for instance, is one of those lost tribes of Israel mentioned in the Bible, or that England or France or some of these other nations, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the United States, you know, just to name a few, have been found. And we can document it and we can identify it. And religion does just like archaeology. They ignore it. They impugn it. They ridicule it. They make fun of it. But you don't see them answering point by point with names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence. And that's because they don't have it. And so when you have a false doctrine and somebody exposes your false doctrine, like Barry Fell exposes the false doctrine of archaeology today, and Stephen Collins identifies and exposes the false doctrine of modern religion today, and exposes it by simply going to the scripture and taking out the scriptural texts and then photographing the sites and then producing the hard evidence that proves his case, which is what Collins has done. Now, the reason I gave you his phone number here, that phone number again, 605-361-5069. You know, once in a while you'll run across some guy like Stephen Collins, who is an iconoclast, who says, I'm not satisfied with religion. I'm not satisfied with science. I'm not satisfied with history. And Collins went to America, B.C. to get information from Barry Fell when he wrote his book, The Lost 10 Tribes of Israel Found. Barry Fell went to the Bible to get information that he needed in order to corroborate and prove his case concerning the Phoenicians and the ships of Tarshish. Now, this is not to say that everything that every archaeologist or every scientist finds is false, because that's not true either. It isn't the truth that is the problem. It is the false that is the problem, which is mixed with the truth. You see, truth plus truth equals truth. And error plus error equals error. Now let's try the equation this way. Truth plus error equals what? Truth plus error equals what? It equals error. I always liken that to the concept of math. Two even numbers, or a series of even numbers added up, equal an even number. Odd numbers added together, 7 and 7, two odd numbers. 7 and 13, two odd numbers. When added up, equal even. To get an odd number, you got to add an even with an odd. I don't know if that has much to do with truth and error, but I liken the two together as a parallel. And I'm telling you, from a researcher's point of view, now I read a lot of books, and we do a lot of research here at the law school. As a litigator, as a professional litigator, I spend many, many hours going over testimony and depositions. And what I'm looking for when I'm looking at the sworn statement of a witness in a deposition or his interrogatories, I'm looking for contradictions in his testimony. I'm looking for the opposite. I'm a contrarian. A lawyer is a trained contrarian. He's trained to pick apart and find fault. I'm listening to you, but I don't believe what you're telling me. Prove it. I'm from Missouri. I got to see it. Now, that's what a contrarian, that's what a lawyer. If a lawyer is doing his job, he comes in, he says, okay, I heard the witness testimony. Now, let's ask him some questions on cross. Let's cross-examine this guy. Let's see if he can keep his story together. If this guy is telling the truth, he can withstand cross-examination. If this guy's lying, we're going to expose him. And boys and girls, evolution is so filled with lies, half-truths, mistruths, that it's easy to cross-examine. It's easy to go through the text. It's easy to find these contradictory statements. God, a lawyer in an evolutionary textbook is just having a field day. Now, we have to apply the same standards here to Barry Fell in America, B.C. We have to apply the same standards to the Scripture. We have to be able to go through the Scripture and America, B.C. and subject it to critical cross-examination. We cannot just ignore it, ridicule it, impugn it, make fun of it, laugh at it. It has to stand the test. We've got to have the photographs, and Barry Fell has the photographs. We have to have corroborating testimony. So Barry Fell, who comes along and says, well, let me translate this Ogham writing on this steel. And he does. All right. Who else can do that? Well, there are other epigraphers. There are others that he cites, and they too went to these sites, and they too looked at this writing, and they too corroborated. Yes, it is Punic. Yes, it is Phoenician. Or yes, it is Hebrew. And yes, here's what it says. And they too translated it. Now that's the acid test. Now, I told you, I think in a couple programs past, that I saw a program that was put on, and Barry Fell, and I think, if I remember right, Gloria Farley was there. It was in Denver. And they had a couple of guys from the local archaeology department there at the university, and then they had Barry and I think a couple other people there. And Barry Fell was bringing up these Ogham writings that they'd found there in Colorado to the local people in Colorado, at the local university in Colorado. He says, look what we found here in Colorado. And these archaeologists, from the university, they were talking down to Fell, like he was some kind of a jerk, from the backwoods, like maybe he was an evangelist, from some black church in Alabama, jumping up and down and hooping and hollering or something, He didn't do that at all. In fact, he stood up and he said, well, these are the facts. Here's what we've discovered, and here's where we discovered it, and you can go out and look at it just like we did. And here's what it plainly says, and you can go look it up in the textbooks just like we did, and you can translate this just like we did. And here are the other people that corroborate this. And it just degenerated into a he said, she said. And they never at any time, I'm talking about the university professors and the professional archaeologists, never once did they ever address facts. Never once did they come forth and say, well, let's put the acid test to this. No, let's compare this with something else, and let's arrive at the truth. After all, that's the purpose for science. Science is something different than religion. Religion is like politics. Politics is not aimed at discovering the truth. It's aimed at convincing you that what I'm telling you is the truth. Religion is not aimed at the truth. Religion is aimed at convincing or persuading you that what I'm telling you is the truth. The Bible takes the opposite point of view. The Bible says, thy word is truth, and then challenges you and says, prove all things. The Scripture does not say to you, believe it because it's in the Bible. The Scripture says you ought not to believe it because it's in the Bible, but you ought to study the Scripture and prove all things as to whether these things be so. Religion and politics tell you, believe it because we told it. Now, science is supposed to deal with the truth. It's supposed to pull out facts, weigh it, test it, and try it and cross-examine it. and bring in witnesses and evidence and testimony, and be skeptical, but be open-minded. You know, take a look at it, and maybe it doesn't fit with what we have always believed or what we always thought, but let's accept it at least on its face, and let's at least bring it into the courtroom, and let's test it. Let's not just dismiss it. Judges sometimes do that. They will dismiss a case. They will say, this case, based upon the pleadings that I have seen so far, has absolutely no merit, and therefore it is dismissed. We're not going to bring in witnesses, evidence, and testimony. We're not going to bring in any evidence. We're not going to give it its day in court. It isn't worthy of that. So we're going to dismiss. Boys and girls, that's what science has done. I mean, false science. That's what the universities have done. They simply went out and they looked at Mars Hill or Mystery Hill and they said, well, we dismiss it. We're not even going to give it the time of day. Perry Fell was a little more open-minded. He's a scientist. He went out, he said, let's look at it objectively. Let's look at the history. Let's look at the writings. Let's look at the museums. Let's look at the libraries. Let's put it all together and let's see whether or not there's something here. Now, Stephen Collins has done the same thing. He took the Bible and he took America BC. He put it together with this thing called identity to prove whether or not these identity people did have some merit. And lo and behold, they did. So if you're one of those people that believe that the United States of America and Western Europe and Australia and Canada are the descendants, the people, you know, the white Anglo-Saxon people are the descendants of the ancient Israelites, it's the truth. And we can prove it with names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence. And after all, boys and girls, that's the duty. That's the job of history. That's the job of science. That's what archaeology is all about. It is designed to teach us the historical truth. And there are some real, true archaeologists out there teaching the truth about history. Let me recommend again, America BC by Barry Fell. Now, I'm almost out of time, so let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember that The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet daily. And for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's about up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.